Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I don't know who I want. They don't have a specific name. I know there's certainly people I want to talk to and have dialogue. And it's the same thing. I always talk about Mike Sullivan. I hate to always go back to Pittsburgh, but it's what I come from, what I know. And Mike Sullivan, when we hired him in Wilkes-Barre, I didn't think he was going to be our guy going into the interview process. It's amazing how many good coaches are out there, but they all have their different styles. And until you get into an interview process and sort of understand, like Mike Sullivan, I was sort of thinking, he'd been with John Tortorella for something. That's what I was thinking. And then when I got into it, I realized he's taken the best of John Tortorella. And then he's also taken a lot from his other coaches that he's been in and around with. And until you get into the interview process with that, you don't know from afar. I have questions going into every interview that I want to be done, but it's not like we're looking at a sheet and I'm checking it off in that regards. It's just a dialogue. There's a wider range. There's phone interviews that I just want to get a feel for some people to see how it works. And other people will come in and do face-to-face, and whether it's in my office just going over some things or going out for dinner and stuff, just in more casual setting, just to make sure that there's a comfort level.
Jason Botterill, new Sabres GM. Happy to have Pierre LeBrun with us on the AT&T hotline. Pierre, you tweeted about the Sabre coaching search, and there were a lot of names there.
Yeah.
Would you still consider it early in his process or not?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's underway, but I think the bottom line is I think Jason Botterill probably wants someone in place by the NHL draft in Chicago. So that should give Sabres fans a timeline. And some of those names, listen, there are also guys, that I probably don't know about. I mean, I think that Jason Botterill is going to cast a wide net here. And the names that I put out there doesn't mean that he's going to have formal interviews with all of them, but I know that they are names that have been connected to him and to the Sabres in some way or another. I mean, you just played a great clip. It kind of gives you an idea of where he's coming from, right?
Mm-hmm.
Some guys might be a phone call, other guys might be more formal, but I think those are all names to retain. I mean, obviously, Rick Tocchet and Jacques Martin are obvious connections to the Penguins once the Penguins season ends. But it goes beyond that, I think. And you know, the name that is intriguing to me, although maybe probably a long shot, is Ralph Kruger, because he's just so well-regarded in the hockey world in terms of his coaching acumen. But, I mean, I honestly can't tell you this, and I don't know if Jason Botterill can, but you know, is Ralph Kruger actually available? I mean, he's the chairman of the Southampton Football Club in England. When I hear that title, I think cha-ching, cha-ching to start with. But, we asked him during the World Cup of Hockey in September here in Toronto about his future and hockey-wise, and he said that one day he'd like to come back, but he didn't know when that was. He wanted to see things through, if I remember the quote that he gave in terms of Southampton. So all I can tell you is this. I believe there has been communication between Kruger and Botterill over the past 10 days. But what exactly that means, I mean, who knows? It might be Ralph Kruger saying, yeah, I don't think it's time. But maybe not. I honestly can't tell you that. But there's lots of good names that I tweeted out there that I think all have a shot.
Our morning show had a soccer writer on. His name escapes me, but he spoke to Kruger. It was like early last week. And he said at that point he had turned down two other coaching opportunities this spring, like during the NHL playoffs this year. He turned down opportunities and still left the door open, you know, like you're alluding to, Pierre. But it sounded like in the course of the conversation, there's a big deal, a big sponsorship deal he's working on, and like it just isn't, it's a delicate time. So that might be the seeing things through part of that. So he is a super interesting and exciting idea, but I'm just wondering if the timing is just not going to work out.
And that may very much be the case. But either way, good on Botterill, as far as I can understand, for at least trying. Because that's exactly the kind of thing that you want, I think, your GM to be doing at this point, is to think outside the box.
Pierre LeBrun from TSN with us. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog on WGR. Not only is it early in the offseason for three teams, it isn't even the offseason yet, but how far away are the Sabres for you? Like how much work needs to be done here for fans to think this team should be at least close to the playoffs next year?
Well, listen, I don't want to get Sabres fans too excited for nothing, but understand this about today's NHL. Last year's 30th place team nearly beat the Washington Capitals in the first round this year. Last year's 29th place team was within one win of the Western Conference Final. I'm talking about Toronto and Edmonton. Now, I know they're special cases, and they got special young players, but so do the Sabres. And, you know, the 16th seed is in the Stanley Cup Final. Potentially the 12th seed, and probably a team that absolutely no one thought would have a chance to go to the Cup Final, is one win away in the Ottawa Senators. The league has never been closer. You know, as much as we talk about, you know, parity in the NFL, and I know you guys talk a ton about the Bills and football, I think there's more parity in hockey. And it's absolutely, when I talk to other GMs and teams around the league, I remember a GM telling me the other day, basically every year now there's 25 teams separated by three wins, in his mind.
Yeah.
So, long way of saying, yes, I'd like to see the blue line upgraded. Obviously, the coaching hire is key. I'd like to see a culture fix. Lots of different things I want the Sabres to address. But it's not that far away if things get done right. And that's the league we have today.
Yeah, the culture fix is something that you would hope would get, you know, addressed by the right coaching hire and by the right GM hire. And I feel pretty confident that they did a good job in hiring Botterill. Because, you know, Pierre, last year there was a disconnect going even back into the season before last between Dan Bylsma and some of the players on this team. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I'm confident, really, even if they did almost nothing to this team, that a different coach that the players can plug into would get you a better result.
No question about it. And, again, just look at some of the turnover from one year to another in terms of teams that were nowhere and teams that had great years. It really doesn't take – it's not like the old days where you had this 6-7 year wait to get there. The league is a lot closer than that. But, you know, we can't afford many missteps. And the most important thing that's happened so far has already is the hiring of Jason Botterill. I absolutely love – the hire, I have to tell you that. You know, he interviewed before in Buffalo, I know, and, you know, I want to share this with you. You know, after he was hired, I traded texts with Ray Shiro, of course, hired him in Pittsburgh, and Ray said I could share this if asked, but this was what Ray Shiro and Jason Botterill, he touched every facet in a big way, from scouting, cap, contracts, running a farm team. He's a great people person and leader. He inspires people, communicates well. He's an amazing person. He's loyal, and goes on and on. I mean,
wow!
You just don't get that every day.
Anything,
you
know, in there? Like, anything in there, Pierre, about how much he can bench? That's the only thing I didn't catch.
Well, I'm just telling you, it's, and you know, Jim Rutherford was on your station, I think, the same day that Jason's hire was announced, and had similar things to say. So there's the two different GMs who each won a cup, and one of the common links, well, other than Crosby and Malkin playing for them,
right,
was that Jason Botterill was the right-hand man. And so I really think the Sabres hit it out of the park here. And just a thoughtful guy that has worked his way up, and maybe doesn't, you know, maybe because he's sort of quiet in terms of his demeanor, people might take a while to get to know him, but I think it's an excellent hire. And, you know, I think the proof will be in the pudding, obviously, but I think you'll see that here over the next several weeks.
Pierre, no doubt you're doing interviews, talking a lot about the playoffs and maybe Ottawa's crowds or whatever else. If you don't mind, can we, instead of doing that, spend our short time with you talking about the expansion draft a little bit?
Yeah, sure.
If you feel like the expansion draft, I sat down at Cap Friendly today and tried to do one, and there are just thousands, if not millions, of permutations, possibilities that might be considered, you know, possible. What do you know about what Vegas wants to accomplish?
Yeah, I think that the thing that you should retain more than all the permutations, because there are all kinds of wrinkles. I mean, I did a number of stories in the first half of the year where I took a bunch of teams, and I don't think I did the Sabres, but I did about a dozen teams and looked at, you know, the possibilities. Here's the reality. Vegas is not necessarily going to take the best player available. And that's where everything gets skewed, because if it was that simple, if you truly could go through every roster and say, well, they're not going to be able to protect him, and he's pretty good, so there's your guy, then the exercise through cap friendly or whatever else would be a little more fun. But the reality is George McPhee, and in fact the call started to really heat up last weekend, according to my sources, he's going to do a number of side deals where it's going to be like, okay, I won't take player X, but in return, let's do this deal here where, you know, I get a second-round pick or I get that prospect from you. There's going to be a lot of that. And so, A, you have to remember that, because when their picks are announced on June 21st, the instant reaction on Twitter, and I can't wait to see it, was, is George McPhee out of his mind? Why didn't he take X? Well, he didn't take him because, hold on, over the next week, you'll see something else announced. So that's the number one thing you have to remember. Number two, once you see the roster on June 21st, remember something else. There's a real good chance maybe up to a third of those players you see on that list on June 21st aren't even with Vegas come October. They're going to be a lot of flipping, I think. I know there are conversations already about, you know, if we take him, what can we get for him, you know, a week later at the NHL draft in Chicago. So remember that. Even to the point where, and I don't want your head to explode, but there are teams, Vegas has a UFA window in the days leading up to June 21st where they can talk to all the free agents around the NHL, only them, like it's July 1st.
Mm.
And there are teams that have told me that they're thinking of reaching out to Vegas and saying, if you can go out and sign that guy on our behalf, we'll give you this asset. And I checked with the league, and they said, well, yeah, as long as, A, that player that they, you know, let's say, just as an example, they signed Justin Williams from the Washington Capitals. He's UFA.
Mm-hmm.
That becomes the player they took from Washington in the expansion draft process. They'd have to wait till June 22nd at the earliest to turn around and flip him to the other team they were talking to.
Can they do that to Williams? Like, would Williams...
No, Williams would be in on it. I mean,
he would be
again,
in on it.
I'm using him theoretically.
Yeah, sure.
Because that would clearly not be the case, because Washington has too many interesting options, I think, for George McPhee anyway. I mean, that's his old team, and there happens to be a goalie there in Philip Grubauer that he drafted, so I don't think he would do the UFA play.
Okay.
But I'm using that as an example for you guys that the reason Vegas would actually contemplate this is with a team where they're like, oh, we don't like any of these guys available. That's the team where they might go to another team or accept an offer from another team to sign a UFA and flip him later. So the levels and the layers to all of this is just unbelievable. And I will tell you this. I think the period from about June 15th to July 2nd could be the busiest in the 100-year history of the National Hockey League.
Let's hope.
In terms of news and player movement. No, I'm quite serious.
Let's hope.
And not just because of Vegas, but also because, you know, the cap may not be going up a whole lot, if at all. And that's going to really hamstring some teams. So it's the ultimate double whammy, really, if you think about it.
Well, you got like double fist pumps from our producer Ryan in there with the busiest day in the 100-some-odd-year history of the league.
I hope it is, and then next year breaks it.
Because that sounds right. Great. Talking with TSN's Pierre LeBrun here on the AT&T Hotline for a few more minutes. So hearing you lay that out about teams making deals to not have players chosen that they can't afford to protect gets me to Anaheim. We're in Buffalo. We've been thinking about Anaheim's defense corps for more than a year, even going back into last summer.
Like, I bet you are.
Who's Tim Murray going to steal from Anaheim? We need a guy, right? And they have too many guys, but they could easily do something like you're suggesting, and like all this time I've wasted trying to figure out how to get Vatanen out of there or Cam Fowler out of there could be exactly that, wasted time.
Well, I'm fairly confident in telling you that I believe that Tim Murray and Bob Murray had conversations during the year, too, to that effect. Now, that doesn't mean that it was going to lead to anything, because Bob Murray just became the most popular guy at the dance, right? People know that he's got his hands tied a bit here heading into Vegas. So interesting to me what's going to happen. So let's go through Anaheim. Number one, as it stands now, they have to protect Kevin Bieksa because of his no-move clause. I think there either has been a conversation or there will be where they'll potentially get him to waive that. So that means they can protect another player. Mm-hmm. So that's the first thing you got to think of. Number two, Cam Fowler is 1 year away from UFA. There's no way they would protect him unless they knew that they could sign him long term. And I think there were talks about an extension during the year. I don't know where that went, but it certainly wouldn't shock me that they announced that he's signing an extension on July 1st, and that if you see him protected come June 17th or June 21st, then you know that there's probably an extension in the works. So keep that in mind. But the reason that's important is that it's a domino. If Fowler becomes a guy that's staying long-term, then it's obviously on to someone else in terms of the musical chairs and who they may have to move. And, you know, yes, Buffalo needs to get in on that, you know, but the list of teams, guys, and I'm sure you guys have talked about this, that need a top four defenseman. I mean, the Tampa Bay Lightning are a Stanley Cup contender, I think. I know they missed the playoffs, but they'll come right back to being a contender. They have made it a number one priority in the offseason to get in on the defensive market. I'm sure they'll be calling Toronto Maple Leafs. We know that's where they need to upgrade. Winnipeg Jets, Calgary Flames. Holy, it's the list of teams that need to get in on that, and the list of teams that are selling, that is not an even list. The market is tilted in one direction. Carolina can afford to move a defenseman, and I think are willing to, because they want to upgrade their top six up front. And the other team, obviously, to watch for is Minnesota Wild, who I think are potentially will move a defenseman. Those are the three best areas to look for if you're Buffalo looking for an upgrade on defense. But because of the market imbalance, I don't think the price will be cheap.
Do you happen to know, by the way, why Anaheim and Buffalo did not ever make that deal? Like, it was rumored for so long before the draft, and there were even reports the morning of the first round in Buffalo that that was happening.
Yeah, I remember tweeting about it as well. I think it got close. You know, I don't know in the end why it ended up not happening, although it's interesting to note that once the season started, that Simon Desprez, as you know, went on the long-term injured reserve and hasn't played all year.
Mm.
And so I don't know if that's tied to it or whether there's information coming Anaheim's way about his health. So who knows? I'm just speculating. But
yep.
The fact that Desprez went on LTIR at the start of the year allowed them to keep everyone, right? I mean, Bob Murray had that conference call with media saying, now we're okay. So, again, we'll see how all that plays out now. But I think Anaheim's preference is, in fact, to keep Fowler and to sign him long-term, which suggests that someone else, if he does sign anyway, I don't know if he will, but if he does sign, that means potentially someone else going out.
All right, Pierre, thanks a lot. We really enjoy these conversations.
Hey, it's great to be on. You guys are super, super sports market, loyal Sabres fans, so wish I can come on more often.
Well, thank you. We might take you up on that. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, guys.
This is our 10,000th show. Not really.
We say that every 3 or 4 days.
Let me revisit my fee.
Yeah. You didn't know this was a special episode. Right. We didn't tell you that up front. Thanks, Pierre.
All right, guys. See ya.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.